This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher's Keys. Hello, hello, hello. Good evening, good afternoon, good day. How are ya? This is episode number 88 with Wiley Miller. I hope you guys enjoy this. We talk about a project that he's releasing, his new ski that's going to be coming out from RMU. We talk about skiing in general. Obviously, I touch on the Icon Pass thing and Epic Pass and this whole pass grouping situation. We kind of chat about that a bit because he's from Big Sky. So I kind of want to hear his thoughts on that. It was great. This dude is super chill. I had a great time talking to him, and I hope you guys enjoy our conversation. This is another one of the Outdoor Retailer episodes. So shout out to Outdoor Retailer for always finding us a space to do these things. They've always been great. As much as I may or may not whine about the show every once in a while, I think I may or may not whine about everything at one point or another. I appreciate them always finding a space for me. And making time for the show. This will be a short intro. I'm going to try to keep these pretty tight over the next few weeks until we announce some new sponsors that are coming soon. Our current sponsor, Cannon Mountain, is the sponsor of this episode. If you don't know where Cannon is in New Hampshire, all the way in New Hampshire. They've got some awesome conditions right now, which is incredible. Excuse me. Incredible to say for New England because it has been a bummer year, to say the least. But Cannon's got good snow. 63 trails open of 91. I was just looking at their snow totals. 94 inches of snow to date. Base depth 15 to 30 inches. I mean, the skiing's good right now, and it looks like maybe when this episode drops there might be some snow coming that way, so stay tuned. Maybe this will be a good luck charm, I hope, or it'll ruin it and you'll all be sad and no one will want to listen to the show anymore. But either way, go skiing at Cannon. It's a ton of fun. I'm gonna announce some dates that I'll be there skiing on the Instagram and on the Facebook and on the internet over the next week or so. It's looking like we're about 2 weeks out. We want to get some good conditions because we're going to do some filming and do a bunch of fun stuff with the crew over at Cannon, and I'm very excited for it. I can't wait to share some of what makes that place super special with you. So check them out on Instagram if you get the time. It is just at Cannon Mountain. It's C-A-N-N-O-N Mountain. If you don't know how to spell mountain, then this ad read is probably not for you. Yeah, that's it. Check those guys out. Let them know that we sent you. And if you want to go skiing in Cannon or you want to go skiing anywhere, hit me up. But preferably for Cannon, let's go there. Why not? Skiing's good, right? Be sure to leave us a review on the social media. Leave us a review on iTunes if you can. 5 stars is the best. Anything else is whatever. But 5 stars is really what we're looking for. Let us know why you like the show. And we'll keep on doing this thing. Thank you to Wiley for doing this episode. And without further ado, I hope you guys enjoy episode number 88. Thanks.
So tell people who you are, what you do, and the whole deal.
Yeah, my name is Wiley Miller.
Okay.
I ski professionally. We're down here in Denver right now at OR, big trade show.
Yeah.
And we're actually... This is a bit of an annual trip for me.
Yeah.
I work with some sponsors. I have some signature products. So I come down here every year and help kind of promote these specific products within their line.
Okay.
And so I have some skis, a goggle.
Yeah.
Working on a boot at the moment. And this year is kind of special because we have a film in the works.
Okay.
So I'm down here with Drew Crosby.
Whatever his name is.
Drew Crosby. No. No, I'm down here with Drew Crosby from Thumbprint Productions out of Bozeman, Montana, and we are we're putting together a film, so we're kind of letting my immediate sponsors know what we're up to, what we want to do, and we're in the process of gathering support for the project.
Okay. Yeah. So talk a little bit about that, I guess, because that's the first thing on deck. What's it like getting support from sponsors to like do these projects? How do you go about pitching them? Like, what is that? I think everybody just thinks that like every professional athlete just gets to go and do whatever they want. Like, and they don't have to like,
right. They just think it's just like,
yeah, they just get to go skiing and like, this is how it happened.
Life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Freedom.
Like, yeah. You just get to
skiing every day and there's powder and nothing's ever wrong. Yeah. Sun's always shining.
Yeah. Everything's perfect every day.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that's funny. Cause this project that we're working on is, you know, one of Drew's big priorities within it is to highlight, you know, some of the complications that exist in this career and my personal life. You know, people were trying to kind of touch on the just normal human side of this thing that I've been doing forever. And, I've been skiing professionally for 12 years or something now, and it's been, you know, crazy watching my career develop and change and transition into kind of like, you know, different stages.
Yeah.
And where I'm at right now is very like an interesting point in my career because I have a lot of change coming and I want to do some different stuff. This project is one. You know, I've never worked on like kind of a career encompassing documentary project, so this is very new and exciting. But yeah, getting back to like what you were saying about the career itself, you know, I mean maybe I sound like a broken record, but fighting weather, injury, you know, all that stuff is just not fun to deal with. It's a seasonal job. We basically get, I've been working almost exclusively on the film side of the career.
Yeah.
A little bit of competition.
Yeah.
You know, I used to do like the Red Bull Cold Rush and Line Catcher when those events were active. I did the X Games Real Snow events in 2013 and 14. So I've done a little bit of competition. That's been like a, you know, piece of the puzzle for me, but shooting films, ski films has been like the nuts and bolts. And we basically get, you know, 3 months, you know, February, March, a little bit of January usually.
Yeah.
To shoot these films, and it's just go time. It has been go time in the past. It's like, you know, you really only get a couple days out of every month where the weather, the snow, the body, everything aligns, you know, feeling good. And so, it's not almost like a fireman. You're just on call all the time. That gets stressful.
Yeah. I bet just waiting around like just for it to go blue kind of, and just for it to like turn on. Like that's gotta be like, that would give me so much anxiety that I cannot even like, tell you, like,
it's nice, man. I couldn't do this year round. If this was a year round job, I would be like, I don't know. I'd be in a psych ward or something.
I was wondering the opposite. Like, I was like, wouldn't you want to do this all year? Right, so you could do more?
I wouldn't mind skiing, having the opportunity to ski around. It is, although let me be honest, because, I do like my summers.
Yeah.
I like the time off. I like the time I've, you know, put a lot of time recently into, you know, learning how to surf, learning how to rock climb.
Yeah.
Those sports like challenge me in ways that skiing, it's interesting because learning a sport from the ground up again is like such a reminder of like what I was doing in skiing a long time ago when I was trying to learn a switch five, when I was trying to learn slough management and skiing a line and all this stuff. You know, it's like relearning all those different aspects in these other sports has been, it's super, it's interesting, it's attractive to me, it's what I love, it's why I am doing what I'm doing now, because it's my passion, sport.
Do you feel like being a professional athlete in one sector of life, like, helps you get better quicker at other things? Like, do you feel like picking up surfing was easier for you than it might have been for other people? Like, or do you feel like the struggle was the same and like those things don't correlate at all?
Yeah, I mean, maybe just the dedication, you know, the time spent in the water, the time spent on the rock. You know, I guess I just understand kind of how much time and dedication it takes. You know, I know there's no shortcuts. There's no, you know, it's just time.
Yeah.
So understanding that and understanding, I guess, maybe body mechanics, you know, I'm sure I have.
Yeah.
Probably an advantage over.
You know how to fall.
Yeah, I know how to fall. I know I just understand the mechanics of my body interacting with a board or skis or, you know,
right.
a rock wall or whatever, like all that probably comes, I'm just guessing, you know, maybe it comes a little more natural just because I've spent so much time. You know, they say, what's that rule? The 10,000 hour rule.
Yeah. Yeah.
You spend 10,000 hours
to master anything.
I've definitely spent 10,000 hours skiing.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe because I've mastered that, I have like a bit of an advantage in body mechanics.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess I kind of
just guessing.
Sense.
Maybe yeah. not.
Maybe not. It might be like complete bullshit. Like the bug.
Maybe it's just because I took swim lessons or yeah. something when I was little. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess you have an advantage over someone that doesn't know how to swim too. Right? That's pretty sick. So what is it like working with these brands in a seasonal position, right? Like you have to create value in such a short amount of time for them. And right. I mean, with the ski, like with RMU, I think it's a little different because they are like, they just make hard goods, right? Like right. And they make backpacks and stuff too, but
yep.
they're a hard goods company at their core and their season is your season.
Mm-hmm.
But like a company like Spy, for example, that, or like Fat Tire, like other companies that you work with are, they're year-round companies, so you have to create mm-hmm. value for them
year-round,
all year-round.
Yeah.
What is that like? How do you do that, and how do you make sure that you're kind of on it as much as you can be to bring them your best side?
Right, and you know that. I mean, I guess to me, I try and not force like content production. I really like, you know, I guess maybe that's the artist in me or whatever. But things need to come naturally a bit. They need to come. There needs to be some sort of like natural progression to that, some sort of like, you know, special circumstance that's going to create this content. And what I try and do in the winter is just build an inventory of content that I can kind of flush out through the summer and even into the fall.
Right.
It's really hard to like gather enough content to really do that. So I am throwing in some surf trips and like, you know, Spy can kind of yeah. tack on to being on the beach with sunglasses. Fat Tire certainly can tack on to that. And who doesn't like drinking beer on the beach, you know?
Yeah.
After surfing. Really
yeah.
But so, that, you know, that's with those year-round brands, they usually, you know, are applicable to year-round activities. So
right.
it becomes a little easier. Yeah, it is with the brands like RMU and, you know, Saga and you know, like De La Boot and stuff like those yeah. brands that are specific to skiing, or it's just like, yeah, we need to inventory the content. People don't really want to see ski content in the summer, I don't think. So I try and limit the amount of content that I put out on social media that is winter specific in the summer. But
yeah, I don't know what people want to see anymore. Like it's fucking weird, man. There's so much shit out there.
Some weird shit,
dude. There's so that's what people want, though, right? Like they want stuff that's unique because everybody's sending so hard now that like another ski edit's like, why is this different? And I guess that's probably why you're doing this film too, right? Because it's like, it's a little different than what's out there.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah,
and it's personal.
Yeah. It's personal. More yeah. than anything, it's personal. And yeah, I think it's going to be different. I think we're kind of touching on, some subjects that don't get really talked about a lot. You know, a lot of people walk away from skiing, you know, in their early 30s, they're older, they're retired, whatever, they're just over it. You know, I'm 35 and I've been doing this for a long time. And my passion and goal in skiing is to continue this, but not continue it in the same way I have been doing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, by filming these like banger ski parts and,
yeah.
or, you know, ski porn.
Yeah.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
It's been great for me, but
I'm on to the next.
Yeah. And that's where this film is exploring. And I get a lot of people that ask me, you know, like, wow, like you're still skiing, you've been doing this for a while, like how's your body, how's your, you know, where's your motivation at, how, where's all that coming from? I get that asked a lot, so I think this film will kind of answer, you know, I think it'll maybe give some answers to the, you know, at least like my fan base and people that follow my career, have been following my career, as to like, you know, what's next for me. So
Yeah, it's gotta be hard to stay motivated.
It is, for right? sure. Like, yeah, it's, I mean, challenging. When I started out, I used to like sit down in the fall and I'd write down a list of tricks
yeah.
and lines and like this, and I still, you know, I still kind of do that, more of a mental list, but not with, you know, I'm not really pushing myself with like building jumps and spinning and flipping and stuff like that anymore
yeah.
as much as I used to. I still want to do that, but I'm more interested in applying that to natural terrain.
Right.
And, so, yeah, I like challenging myself in that way was how I stayed motivated.
Right.
And now challenging myself in like in these new ways where I'm putting together lines and figuring out how to approach terrain, figuring out how to scout the terrain before I get to approach it, you know, and going through that whole process is where I'm at right now. And that's what keeps me going in the sport. You know, I have some, like, I want to get into guiding, ski guiding.
And really?
It's like, yeah, it's something I want to do next. So
okay.
That's going to challenge me in new ways. I've really found a passion for showing people the mountains, showing people these places I've been.
Awesome.
You know, taking people out and going, introducing them to pow surfing.
Yeah.
And just being out in the mountains and like, you know, interacting with the snow. And, you know, there's knowing how to get around in the mountains and where to go and when the, you know, when the wind, with the wind and the sun and like everything requires a lot of knowledge. And I feel like I have a pretty good inventory of all that.
Yeah.
And it's time to share that with people that are interested in wanting that same thing. Yeah.
So what do you think the difference is, I guess, between being a pro skier and being a guide, right? Like there's got to be some...
Right.
It's different, right?
Oh, it is. It's very different. And the path I plan to take is not like a traditional guide and not getting into alpinism and
right.
any of that. I mean, I will on my own terms, like for my own skiing.
Right.
I want to push that, you know, the touch, you know, put my foot and just whatever, the tickle my toes in the water, so to speak, in the alpinism side of skiing. Get my toes wet.
Yeah, there Maybe you go. That's what I was looking for. Yeah. it's all the same shit. Somebody right. made it up, yeah.
But no, I mean, there's so much fun to be had out in safe terrain.
Right.
That's you don't really need to get gnarly to really like show a group a good time.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I want to go. I'll probably be working, start inbounds at some resorts, you know,
yeah.
with these trips. I'm going to be working with Big Sky Resort this winter.
Sick.
I have a sponsorship agreement with them, doing some shooting for the resort. And then we're going to be putting together a couple of group trips, and we're going to be like putting together these packages that include, maybe like a jump that's pre-built in the backcountry just out of bounds and like maybe priority on the tram and yeah. like, you know, some stuff like that. And I grew up skiing that resort. I know it like the back of my hand. I know where all the little hits and lips are everywhere and
yeah.
little secret stashes in the woods of Pow. And it would be really fun to like show a group of people around for a couple of days that are first off stoked on skiing with me and second off like wanted to go and like experience the mountain in the way that I have seen it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, the secret's kind of out on Big Sky lately, huh?
Yeah, I know.
It's like, probably like, it seems like a couple years ago, like nobody was talking about it. Now, like everybody's talking. And
right.
Part of that's probably like the past thing, like it's on Icon or whatever.
Right.
And like, I guess that has something to do with it.
No, it's crazy, man. I just came from Whistler. I was just in Whistler this weekend for an event. And I skied the resort one day and I skied it on Monday. And there was lift lines like.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Yeah. You know, it had snowed like 8 cm the night before and people were just, I mean, and it blew my mind because I have been skiing Big Sky and I complain yeah. about these small crowds we get on the weekends at Big Sky. And yeah, there's a lift line. You got to wait in it for maybe 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
I sat at the bottom of Blackcomb Mountain for 40 minutes waiting to get on the gondola and still wasn't even like, I was a little over halfway there.
Jesus.
So I just left. That was Sunday morning actually. And so it is refreshing to see, like, okay, like, you know, it's Big Sky isn't as crowded as these other. It's crowded.
Yeah.
It's probably the way crowded in the way Whistler was 10 years ago.
Yeah, maybe we should shut the fuck up about Big Sky then, huh? Like, yeah, go to Colorado.
Back this up.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, no, what? Big Sky's rad. It's cool. It's not the easiest place to get to. I don't think it's.
No, it's
you know, not, yeah. you can fly direct into Vancouver and be in Whistler and like. An hour or so.
So there's so many great places to ski. Why Big Sky? Is that
it's
like,
home for me?
Yeah.
I lived in Salt Lake City for 10 years.
Okay.
I moved to the Whistler area. I lived in Pemberton for a couple of years in Whistler. And part of challenging myself and moving forward with my skiing included spending a lot of time up there. And, you know, those mountains were always to me where I was able to continue advancing my skills on my skis because those mountains present terrain and snow and everything that I want to challenge that I've had that I've been wanting to challenge myself with in my recent skiing. So, but yeah, like just returning to Montana, where I grew up and being able to kind of like get back to my roots and re-experience Montana with a different set of eyes. And, you know, cause I see the mountain a little differently than I did when I was 12 years old, whatever, skiing there, 14. And it's a rad place. It's different. The snow's different. It's a little rockier, a little thinner.
Yeah.
The avalanche danger is a little bit more, in your face.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. Thinner, like drier snowpack, but, yeah, it's great. I live in Bozeman, Montana now, and really
it's a place to be.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm working with a production Thumbprint out of Bozeman right now on this film. So
yeah,
there's a lot of cool stuff going on in Bozeman. The town's booming, a lot of cool people like Drew from Thumbprint there, you know, these businesses that are being, you know, started and grown in town. And it's a great place for an entrepreneur to be.
Yeah.
At this time, at this moment in time.
How do you feel about these, all these new passes that are coming out and like letting people ski all these different resorts, but like also making every resort like a fucking shit show kind of.
Right. I know
how, like, I know the easy answer is like, it's give and a take, like there's good and bad. And I know that's true, but like everybody kind of has their own feelings on it, I think.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I know Big Sky, the locals, hate that icon pass. Like they have like t-shirts and stickers and like they're full anti-campaign anti-icon campaign going on up there, I have one of those passes and I get to, you know, bump around and ski different resorts.
It makes it so much easier.
I'm here in Colorado. I'm gonna get to ski, you know, up in Summit County. You know, I got to ski in British Columbia this week on it, so it's, I don't know. It's just the convenience. I get it. It's very convenient for people to have those passes. They get to travel.
It's also cheaper, right? Like it's cheaper than like buying a season pass to your local hill, which is like, a good and a bad thing. Like, cause like a lot of these local, like my local hill, like the pat, like season pass for adults is like $700, $800, $900. And like an icon's around that same money, but you get to ski everywhere.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm like conflicted on it too. Like the positive side of me wants to be like, it's awesome because more people are skiing, right? And they get to explore more. And I think everybody should get to do that. But the negative is like, there's lift lines everywhere. And it's fucking crowded. And people are dicks sometimes. Like, it's.
I know. I know they're bringing a bit more crowds to certain areas of the country. But we are, I mean, our population's growing and I think it's more of like, we're just doing a really good job of marketing skiing to the masses. Like,
we should, like, you know, otherwise it wouldn't be sustainable for a lot of people to do what they do.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be interesting to see like how this industry and the industry has grown over the last 10 years. You know, was it was it a $1 billion industry 10 years ago? And now is it a $5 billion? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's grown a ton. People probably selling more skis than they ever have.
Yeah.
And that's only going to result in more skiers. So on the hills, and most people, you know, buy skis, they buy a ski pass and they're riding the lifts. And and even the backcountry now, like the Wasatch in Utah, that's like crazy. It's like lines going up the skin tracks in the morning, you know?
Which was not a thing two years ago. Never mind like a long time ago.
Right.
It's it is crazy, but again, like I think there'll be a leveling off point, right? Where like everybody just knows that like skiing is an activity that you can do, like where it's just fun. And there's less of that, like, I need to go to Big Sky this year because it's on my pass. I need to go to Banff this year because it's on my pass. You know, like, I think there's going to be less of that like hectic, I have to go because I paid for this
pass.
Less
travel, yeah.
That's like the main thing I hear from people is like, I got to make sure I pay for it. Like, I got to make sure I get the days in. And you're just like, go skiing because you want to go skiing. You know, that should be why you bought the pass in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully people, and that's another thing, like with the whole like environmental issues and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like traveling less is a good thing, you know. Burn less gas, fly on planes less, and you know, I'm guilty, man. I mean, I flew in a plane yesterday to come here, and you know, I flew in a plane a few days before that to leave Montana, and like it bothers me the amount of travel I do, but there is no alternative at this point in time. You know, that is, I can't wait till I get an electric snowmobile.
Yeah.
Because I love riding my snowmobile. It gets me to all these places that I want to go skiing. I hate how the noise pollution and the actual, like, you know, water, like the pollution it's putting into the snowpack,
yeah,
which is going into the rivers and streams in the spring, and it's burning gas and oil.
Is that far off, like an electric snowmobile?
It's not. Okay. I don't think it is. I think give it 5 years.
Yeah.
And we're gonna have them, and then give it 10 years for them to get dialed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice to see the technology. Like, and it's also cool that like people are aware of that shit. You know, even the travel thing. It's like everybody was like talking about like how they cared about the environment, but then everybody's getting on a plane like every 2 days. You know, and like I get it. Like, it is part of like being a professional skier or like being in media or like doing
these things. It's a requirement. We're not going to travel.
Yeah,
you know, I think, you know, maybe it's selfish to say, but like you get into like vacation travel, and that's maybe where you have an option of flying in a plane or try, because you really can go wherever you want when you're on vacation.
Yeah. I think I'm like a little conflicted on it. I think it's cool that everybody's aware of it, and I think that's step one, but I'm hoping that more things start to change as we go down the line.
Right. So. I know. Yeah. I have a plan this summer. I own a dual sport bike and a dirt bike, goes on the road, goes in the dirt. But this summer I want to, swap that out for an electric, bike.
Right.
And I think that'll at least offset some of the gasoline I've been burning all winter to travel in airplanes and snowmobiles.
Yeah. That's step one, right?
Right.
Like step one is like
electric truck eventually.
Sick.
You know, I don't know.
Some of that shit's hard to deal with though. Like electric cars and electric trucks are like, at the moment, it's like, it's a project to use sometimes.
Is it?
Know? Like, I mean, from what I understand, like it's like you get 300 miles or something like that on a charge, and then you got to wait like a supercharger's 45 minutes to wait to charge that thing. It's like, that's totally different than filling up in 5 minutes and hitting the road.
Totally.
Like, and that's a big thing for people to swallow. Like, and I think it's cool, but like, and then if you want one in your house, like that's a big expense for people. So it may not be accessible for everyone. And I'm excited to see where that goes.
Totally.
Down the line. So
I think some solar panels and start fueling my car with the sun.
Yeah. Right.
At my house.
I think that'll be the way to do it. So you have a pro model ski with RMU.
Yeah.
We should talk a little bit about that. I had Mike Polito on a few months ago to chat. And, so I think it's good if we talk about it. So how much input do you put into your own skis? What did you do differently in your own ski versus other ones in the line?
So, the first ski we did was the, YLE Pro 118. It's just a, Alpine, like I want to say Alpine, but long radius turn, higher speed ski. It's a high performance ski, you know, it's, you want to ride it in soft snow. It rides the resort very well too, and in all conditions. I ski that ski almost exclusively right now. And that's my like go-to driver.
Yeah.
Day in, day out. If I'm riding park, I'm not going to ski it.
Yeah.
Anyways, and then we developed this 110, which is the all mountain ski. So someone who doesn't maybe want to ski as fast or aggressive, making more moderate radius turns and maybe not skiing in like super deep snow all the time.
Yeah.
That's the 110.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like the all around inbounds, you know, maybe if you want something lighter to ski tour on.
Yeah.
Ski. It also kind of fills that segment. And then we recently, so I got on a swallowtail snowboard about a year ago in Revelstoke with my buddy.
Yeah.
Good friend of mine. He goes by the name of Garbage. Another story altogether. So anyways, Garbage and I went out on our sleds and we were snowmobiling outside of Revelstoke, and I took a snowboard that day. I didn't know what terrain we were getting into. I like being in snowboard boots. If we're going out snowmobiling, we're going a long ways and it's kind of exploratory, I will usually just bring a snowboard and snowboard boots because it's less stuff to deal with.
Right.
And you know, transitioning into ski boots when you don't know the approach routes or any of that stuff, like I'll go out in my snowboard boots and snowboard, check things out, come back with my skis the next time. And when we have everything dialed and I can transition into my ski boots and really hammer out some nice skiing.
Yeah.
Anyways, we went out there, I had a swallowtail snowboard and rode in this super deep snow, somewhat tight trees. And I was blown away by how that board performed. You know, the swallowtail really allows the tail to sink.
Yeah.
Less surface area, but you get the running length still continues out the tail.
Right.
This thing was like a skateboard, just pivoting, maintaining speed, you know, it was short and fat, a big shovel on it, floated. The performance that it gave in those conditions was like mind blowing to me. And I started thinking, how can we, like, that's kind of what we were missing for me in the line, was like a ski that performs well in deep snow in short radius turns.
Yeah.
What you're doing, you're skiing trees in early season, you know, you're knee-deep snow sometimes, and my 188 Wiley pros, like, they're too long. They want to, like, arc.
Yeah.
And when you're in trees, you can't just arc. You kind of need a more, you need to be able to kind of pivot, almost like you're on a skateboard, you know? And so I just thought about, like, lower profile tail, so it will, you know, to reduce the surface area in the tail, increase surface area in the tip, make it shorter so it does actually pivot, and wider so it floats.
Mm.
Kind of like went through the checklist of what I experienced on that swallowtail to what I want in a ski. And we just pressed that ski 3 days ago. It's here at OR now.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah.
It's this like crazy looking shape. It's asymmetric. but I think if the theory is correct in my head that the ski is going to perform perfectly in what it was designed to perform in, you know, in deep snow in the trees. So
yeah,
we're going to test it out probably in the next couple of weeks here.
Sick.
I'll get back to you on how it works.
Yeah. Let me know.
Maybe I'll hate it.
Yeah. Let me know. We may like cut this part of the episode out. Yeah. Like see you later.
No, I don't know. It should be sweet. It'll be fun.
I'm sure it's going to be great. And like, there's always, you just go back to the drawing board and tweak it up, you know?
Right.
Like, I think there's a lot of these like new shapes that are coming out too now. And I think that part's really cool about the way ski design is going.
Right.
It's like people are more free with it. Similar to like the surf aspect.
Surf,
of it, right?
Snowboards.
Like it's just stuff is more fun and more creative.
Right.
And it's just like not everybody's on race skis anymore. And I think we should pay attention to
people
that.
People want
to
try different stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I know you got to do some shit, so I'm not going to keep you much longer. Where can people find you on the internet? If you have any sponsors, talk about them. Obviously, you have sponsors, but.
Right. Yeah. I have close relationships with all my sponsors. I always have. It's been important to me to work with brands that I can get close with and have a little say in the product design. And that's just something. So anyways, RMU, you know, they've been great. I've been on them for, I think, 3 years now, going on 4. And, working with those guys has been awesome. They're such a like salt of the earth company with salt of the earth people. Spy, I've been on them forever.
Yeah.
And that brand has always been awesome. I love being connected to a brand that is also connected to, water sports like surfing.
Yeah.
And, Saga helped start that brand from the ground up, started in Missoula, Montana, moved to Salt Lake. I've been with them. I actually have part ownership in the company. We're in the process of being bought out. We just moved to Boulder.
So no kidding.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I've been riding for a boot company, De La Boot.
Yep.
And I met those guys in Salt Lake City. They make the most comfortable high performing boots that I've ever ridden in. Yeah. Lightweight. They're great. And we're building a new boot.
Sick.
They've had their traditional mold has been something they haven't changed much in the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years, maybe more. And so we're finally getting a new boot in their line. It's going to be a really good boot. It's going to ski tour. It's going to be kind of everything. You know, I think that's kind of where what everyone wants to have in their line with boot companies these days is that kind of one ski boot does it all instead of the ski touring boot and that end resort boot. Everyone just wants the one that does it all.
Yeah.
So we're going down that road with the boots. Fat Tire, I've been on them for a year.
Yeah.
Those guys are awesome.
Yeah, it seems like they're getting more and more involved in winter sports.
They want us to come to them with ideas, and they want to support them. And, I can't say enough good things about Fat Tire. New Belgium as a whole.
Yeah.
The whole brewery up there in Fort Collins. So.
Rad.
We're actually going to a Fat Tire event right after this. So.
Sick.
Gonna go drink some Fat Tire. let me see who else did I miss. RMU Spice, so I got Dave LeBoot. BCA, they've been providing me with avalanche safety products for a long time. They're out of Boulder as well. Evo's been a long time kind of retail partner of mine.
Yeah, they're great.
Evo's such a sick shop. I mean, that kind of rounds it out, I guess, with the sponsor list at the moment.
Yeah.
Maybe some new ones coming. Who knows?
Brad, where can people find you on social media?
I'm on Instagram.
That's cool.
Yeah. I have a, I've kind of whittled down the fat, so to speak, in social media, and it's just Instagram for me right now.
Good. It's lucky.
Keep everything on one platform.
Good. Simple. That's the one to be on.
Right.
For sure. It's most fun.
So yeah, at Wiley Miller on Instagram. That's where you can find me.
Brad, awesome. Well, thank you for doing this, dude.
Absolutely. Thanks, Adam.
Anytime. All right, that was episode number 88 with Wiley Miller. I hope you guys enjoyed it. You can follow Wiley on Instagram at Wiley Miller. It's pretty easy. That, as he said, that's his main social media at the moment. And take a look at that project when it comes out. It's going to be pretty interesting. I think it's going to drop in the fall from what I understand, but it's going to be a pretty unique look into Wiley's life. Let me know if you guys enjoyed the episode. You can hit me up on the email. It's adam@outofpodcast.com. You can leave us a review on iTunes and just tell me you love me. My ego certainly enjoys that. And yeah, we'll keep doing this thing. Next week, we've got Roy Tuscany from High Fives. And either Mike Rogge or Amy Angerbritzen. I don't know. One of the two. It'll be either way. It's going to be a great week of episodes coming in the second week of Outdoor Retailer Shows. That's all I got. See you later. Bye.